Everyone, welcome to another episode of the Laundromat Millionaire Show. Today, we are going to be focusing on the six essentials for owning your first laundromat. And these are often overlooked. So make sure that if you are looking at buying your first laundromat, you stay tuned and learn our advice on what you need to look into.
And the last thing we'll say before we run into this episode, guys, is sometimes you haven't had these six essentials, but you've already bought a laundromat. If you've done some of these things wrong, even though you actually own a laundromat or two, you may still need to evaluate these things for yourself. So don't just run off just because you own a laundromat. All right. Welcome you back for another episode, guys. Dave and Carlo Menz here. Let's jump right into the new episode now.
So let's jump right into this. The first thing that you have to look into before you buy your first laundromat is you have to decide, is the business right for you? Mm-hmm. It is not right for everyone. It is not completely passive, as some people like to try to claim.
That's true. Very true, guys. Operating a business, and I like to use this terminology, Carla, operating a laundromat, okay? You are not an investor. You are maybe not a business owner, although this may be semantics in some ways. But the reason we want to drill down on these specific terms is because we want to make sure you understand, as the new owner, investor, operator, what you are doing. Now, if you are part of a team, let's say a partnership of three or four people, and one of you is the operating partner, okay, then the other three can be investors. They can even be passive investors. If you, over time, build an amazing team that allows you to be a passive owner, which we would kind of fall into that category nowadays, mm-hmm. That's fine too. But the fact of the matter is, when you get into the industry, you're not going to know what you're doing. You're going to be acquiring that first laundromat. And unless you have an operating partner that already is familiar with the industry, you're going to need to dig in. This is not going to be flexible. I'm sorry. This is not going to be passive, but it can be flexible. But we want to be very clear. This requires work, okay? This can be a dream. It's a dream for us. But for a lot of people, it's a nightmare. And that's kind of part of the reason we wanted to put this first, is a lot of people just jump right in and they're like, laundromats, make a lot of money, do this, do that. Oh, it looks great. You know, 95% success rate. And everybody throws around all these terms, 30% ROI and all these different things. And they're just like, yeah, that sounds like fun. I'm like, no. Let's back up for a minute. Let me give you another example. If you're the stereotypical, and you have to do self-evaluation here, but if you're the stereotypical suit and tie kind of guy, this may not be the business for you. Now, it doesn't mean it's not, but the fact of the matter is, if you're not comfortable getting dirty, it's fine if you like to dress up, but if you're not comfortable getting dirty, getting down in there when you walk into your store and there's 2 inches of water on the floor, if you're not the type that goes, holy crap, jives on my hands and knees and sticks your hand down the drain to find the problem, this may not be the business for you, right? So these are the type of things that we have to evaluate, because really what these six essentials are is we're trying to break down for you why. Why is this important to me? And those are examples of, with that first essential, the first thing you have to do before anything else matters is do a really hard deep dive on what the industry is and do a really deep dive on yourself and be very self-reflective internally and say, is this the business for me? But I hope that makes sense for you for number one. Now, Carla, before we jump on to number two, we have an exciting announcement that we kind of want to like tease our audience up a little bit about. Part of this podcast is we have something that we've been working on for a long time. And we're really excited about that. Now, we're not going to tell you what it is quite yet, but we are going to tell you this huge announcement during this episode. So maybe I'll let Carla figure out when we're going to drop the bomb. Okay. All right. So number two, guys, number two is something you're not going to be surprised to hear Dave Menz say. You need to find a rock star equipment distributor. Okay. And what we like to do is we like to break them up into two categories. One of them is what I call a dealer. Okay. A dealer in my mind is just someone that buys equipment from a manufacturer, marks it up, and sells it to Carla. Mm-hmm. That's a dealer. That's
basically all they like do. A car dealer.
Right. Exactly. That's all they do. They don't actually serve any purpose, right? But not all car dealers are the same either, right? I mean, you go buy a car. All they did is bought it, marked it up, put it on their lot, and sold it to you and made a margin. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a Rockstar equipment distributor. So, Carla, do you want to walk through kind of the process of what does an equipment distributor do and what do they look like?
Well, a Rockstar distributor does more than just sell equipment. Basically, they're not just an expert on the machines, but they are also an expert at your market. Mm-hmm. They know what's going on. They kind of have a finger on the pulse of the market. Mm-hmm. They know where the stores are, which stores are doing well, which stores aren't doing well, where new stores are coming in, where demographics are more favorable for a new store, where in the market's being underserved and is in need of a new laundromat, things like that. So they're also market experts. Mm-hmm. They're networking experts. If you're in need, they can connect you with different people in the industry to help you if they can't help you themselves.
That's kind of part of that local network, right? There's different aspects to being a local expert in your market. What I mean by that is you can be a local expert when it comes to local suppliers. Mm-hmm. Like I have called my distributor before and been like, hey, I need a commercial plumber. I've tried 3 residential plumbers. I didn't know there was a difference in a residential plumber and a commercial plumber. Do you guys know any commercial plumbers? If they're a Rockstar equipment distributor worth a hill of beans, they can probably give you 3 or 4 names mm-hmm. to Rockstar commercial plumbers. And that's just one example. That can apply to contractors, drywallers. They can be a local equipment expert, or I'm sorry, a local market expert when it comes to things like the best available stores. Locations. I mean, if you go to and you have to build a relationship. Let me point something out. When you build a relationship with a Rockstar equipment distributor, they will hand you everything. They will give you your dream on a silver platter. But you don't just walk in day one and be like, hey, I think you need to help me. Like, that's not how relationships work, guys. You don't walk up to the prettiest girl in school and just say, you're going to marry me. That's not how this works, right? It's just not. I'm sorry. But the fact of the matter is, you have to invest in that relationship. And yes, they have to invest in that relationship too. It has to be important to them. If it's not important to them, they're probably going to be a dealer because they're probably not going to have any interest in being a local equipment distributor.
I think too, it's important to note, aside from the network, I mentioned that they sell machines, mm-hmm. but it's not just laundry machines that they sell.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other types of machines we use in our laundromat, like payment systems and ozone systems and things like that. Other services, vending machines, card systems, all that kind of stuff that you use in your laundromat. And they're an expert on those too. Mm-hmm. They can help.
They should be.
A rock star distributor.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Not every distributor, yes, unfortunately. Definitely.
And one of the things that I've done, like just internally, it's been important to me, is when I first got in the industry and I met with HM Company, I saw they were an expert in all these areas. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's amazing. But then I also learned, like, okay, why would I just sit back and make them do all the work? And I was like, you know what? I want to drill. I want to drill down. I want to, maybe not expert is the right term, but I want to drill down and become as knowledgeable as I can. So as more card type systems started coming out, more payment systems, I should call them, more software technologies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot to ask of an equipment distributor, big or small, for them to be an expert in all these products and services. There used to just be a couple. But nowadays, there's like, in some cases, 12, 15 of them. Well, I mean, ask them to be an expert on any, I'm probably going to happen. They're probably going to be an expert on 1 or 2. That's what's going to recommend to you. But one of the cool things about going to like the clean show or conferences, you know, these vendors, these service providers, they set up tables at these things. And yes, they're there to sell their products. But if they're smart, what they're there to do is explain to you why you need their products, right? That's part of the sales process. So my point is, what I always tell everybody is, from the day I got in the industry, yes, I leaned on my Rockstar distributor to provide me with these things, but I also didn't only rely on them. Mm-hmm. I dove down from day one, and I still do to this day. I always say, if you wake up this morning and you know everything about the laundromat business, go to bed tonight, wake up tomorrow, something changed. well, you better figure out what that something is. Yeah. So not to spend too much on time with this, but we really break kind of the Rockstar Equipment Distributor down into two categories of value. One of them is that, yes, they are a machine and an equipment expert, mm-hmm. and that's washers, dryers, card systems, furniture, bulkheads, infrastructure type things. The second is a Rockstar Equipment Distributor is a local market expert in every way, whether it's suppliers, they can connect you with other laundromat owners to network with, they know local building codes. A lot of times your equipment distributor will be able to tell you, oh, don't go build in that county, their water, sewer, tapping fees are outrageous. Mm-hmm. But if you move over a mile and buy this piece of property, you're in a different county, their water, sewer, tapping fees are 10% of what they are over there, and you can still serve that community. Mm-hmm. You may never learn these things without building a relationship with a Rockstar Equipment Distributor. So really who we're talking to today is obviously the new investors, the new owners getting into the industry, the new operators. But I know that we have equipment distributors that listen to this show. Mm-hmm. Guys, we're talking to you too.
Here's how to be a rock star.
Are you a distributor? Are you a Rockstar Equipment Distributor? Or are you a dealer? Because what we're doing is we're telling people to go build in deep-rooted relationships with Rockstar Equipment Distributors. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the market share that you want, you're not busy like HM Company and have too much business in a lot of cases, maybe you just need to pivot your business model. And our industry needs more Rockstar Equipment Distributors. Mm-hmm. So we would welcome that. We think that's amazing.
There's nothing better than free. Ever heard that before? Well, it's not true. You know what your laundromat customers like even better than free? It's fast. That's right, they want to save time more than they want to save money in most cases. They want to get in and out of your laundromat as fast as possible, and they'll pay more for that experience. We're proof of that here in Cincinnati. That's why we added HM Company drain troughs into our newest store in Cincinnati. While they may never know why, your customers will love that your washers all drain better and faster than with old school drain pipes. As if that wasn't enough, every HM drain trough is made in the USA, so they ship in only a few weeks and everyone is custom made just for you and your project. If you want to provide your customers with a top of the industry experience in your store, then contact your distributor to order your HM Company drain trough today, or visit draintroughs.com.
All right, so number three on this essentials list. We're almost halfway there, Carla. And then what do you want to, after this one, maybe do the big reveal?
We'll do our big announcement.
Okay, big announcement after number three, guys. All right, so number three is laundromat lease and key components. Now, we don't want to overcomplicate this, right? Because there are attorneys out there that are, if you're using a good attorney, they're small business attorneys, lease experts, things like mm-hmm. that. And you should have them as part of your, what I call your external team. But more important than just having the right leases is understanding why you need the right lease. Like that's a big part of the equation.
Lease is huge in the laundromat industry. I mean, for one thing, a laundromat is really hard to move, except for maybe for Charles Measley. But
yeah, if you're not our buddy Charles, who's brash enough to think he can move a lot across the street, and he did it.
He did, but not tough. Without great expense.
Pretty tough. So don't ever tell Charles that you can't move a laundromat.
The point is, there's a lot of expensive infrastructure in a laundromat, so you can't easily move it. So when you agree to a lease, you're hoping to be there for a really long time. So you want to make sure that those terms are favorable.
Well, not only that, but you better get it right. I mean, there's favorable and then there's like, okay, acceptable. I mean, I know people that otherwise should have a solid business. Like mm-hmm. they're in a good location, they got good parking. And their one thing that they messed up on was their lease. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get, in most people's opinions, you get a laundromat lease that's more than 20, 25, maybe 30% is really pushing it of your gross revenue, mm-hmm. you're cooked. I mean, you get 40, 45, 50% of your gross revenue. So you either get your pro forma wrong and miss if you overestimate what your business is going to drive in, then you signed a bad lease because you got your pro forma wrong. Also part of having a good coach, also having a good part of a good Rockstar distributor. But it always comes back to business is about people and math. When it comes to that lease, you want the right components in there, but just something as simple as the components aside, something as simple as just the rent. you get that wrong and you can literally be baked.
And you have to look for the other components too. Like there's more than just the rent, and mm-hmm. you have to look for, you know, how much can it vary from year to year? What about the CAM?
Yep.
Things like that. So there's a lot that goes into a lease. So it is critical before you buy that first laundromat yep. that you make sure that whoever's the landlord of that laundromat, that you can get a lease that is favorable for you long term.
Yeah. Another thing I'll add in here that's not honestly even in our notes, Carla, is just if you can, and I know landlords change and stuff, but mm-hmm. really try to sign a lease with a commercial property owner or landlord that you get along with. Because, I mean, you could have good numbers and a landlord can make your life hell. I mean, they really, truly can. Mm-hmm. In fact, we were teasing about our buddy Charles Measley earlier out in New Jersey. And the fact of the matter is that's why he moved, right? Remember him telling that story on the podcast? Yeah. And we'll tag Charles's story down in the bottom of this episode. But he had a nightmare lease with a nightmare landlord. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it worth. As crazy as that is, that's what made it worth him moving his entire freaking facility up the street or across the road or whatever it was. Yeah. That's a very extreme circumstance, but luckily for Charles, he made it work. Yeah. A lot of people get themselves in that situation. You could have good numbers on a lease and just have a terrible landlord. So that's kind of the other side of the equation too.
All right. So that was number three. So I guess it's time.
Time, guys. It's time for the big announcement. We got a drum roll there. It's time for the big announcement. And before I let Carla take over and tell you what we have going on, we're super excited about. I just want to stress that Carla and I have been working on this for probably over 12 months. We've invested mm-hmm. an insane amount yes. of our time and our money in this. And that is because we see a problem. Like we believe us as entrepreneurs and business owners, we are problem solvers. That's what we should be doing. And we saw a huge problem in the market, in the industry. We believe that this program that she's going to explain to you solves that problem. Now, it might not be a good fit for you for different reasons. That's fine. But at the end of the day, we are excited and honored to bring this to the industry. So tell them what we did, Carla.
Okay. So we have developed a new owner's program. So when Dave got started in the industry, there really wasn't a lot of resources available as to how to avoid those very expensive mistakes that new owners often make when getting into the laundromat industry. So over the past year, Dave and I worked together with my teaching background and his background in the laundromat industry to develop a program specialized for new laundromat owners. It goes through all of these essentials and more. So not just explaining why, you know, those lease negotiations are important, but exactly what you're looking for in a lease, how to find that rockstar distributor, how to some of the other things we're going to be talking about in this episode. But basically, the new owners program is composed of a couple of parts. The first part is an online course. So it is 10 modules long, about 7 hours worth of video footage.
That was easy to make, right? It was
super easy. Oh, yeah, no.
It was brutal, guys. It was brutal. It really was, but we're very proud of it.
So it's 10 modules, about 7 hours of video footage, and it walks you through kind of step-by-step all the things that you need to think about, examine, do. It has some tasks, some homework assignments even along the way to get checklists, cheat sheets, all kinds of resources to make sure that you're on the right path to owning your first laundromat. So that's the first component. The second part of it is once you finish the online course portion, then you are enrolled, basically invited to some group coaching calls with Dave once a month. They last anywhere from an hour, hour and a half with other people that have finished the online program. So those will be close, intimate settings where you'll discuss any questions you have. So you really get to ask him your questions. And even if you don't have questions at that point, you get to listen to the questions the other new owners have.
You get to be like Dave's that fly answers. On the wall, right? Exactly. That fly on the wall. What I tell people when we're having like discovery calls about this program and stuff like that is it's super cool because everybody loves coaching where they can get in and ask their questions, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what if you have two questions? You have two questions. And I actually have people tell me, I'm like, okay, what would you like to discuss next? And they're like, I'm not sure. What do you think we should discuss next? Like, well, it's your journey. And so part of the reason we put this program together with this group coaching mentality is because you kind of like get to join a community. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the same foundation of the group, the video course. And then everybody's, for the most part, traveling the same journey, right? Yeah. But the cool thing is, if you find yourself in the group coaching call and you don't have a question, well, that's not the end of the call, because this lady or this guy over here, they may have a question. And I always tell people, have you ever been in a room, like a class or something, and, you know, Carla asked a question, you're like, oh, that's a good question.
I didn't think of that.
I wouldn't have thought of that one. That's kind of the idea behind this, like this community that we're putting together. But anyway, go ahead, Carla.
Hey, and the great thing about both of those components, the online course and the group coaching call, is you get those for the life of this program. So it does not disappear if you want to ever go back, if you're then later on buying your second laundromat and want to go back and look through the course, it is still available for you at any time after that. In addition to those two components of the course, once you finish the course, in addition to the group coaching calls, you will also get two free one-hour calls with Dave individually so that you can discuss your individual questions, maybe that were a little more specific to your situation than were asked in the group coaching calls. I know Dave has some advice maybe for how to best use those 2 hours.
Yeah, what I tell people is, I mean, you get these 2 one-hour calls. You can use them at any point once you have completed the video course. Mm-hmm. I recommend, for the most part, that new operators, new investors, that they kind of save them until they've gone through due diligence, which we teach you in the video course how to do. They've went through some group coaching calls. They're starting to really get a handle on things. And hopefully, in an ideal world, you've actually honed in on a laundromat. And you're either building or in the process of building or getting ready to sign a lease, or you're in the process of doing due diligence and you're, let's say, 2 weeks from closing. That's usually a really good time to use these 2 one-hour calls with me, because then I can kind of jump in. And rather it being group, we can jump in and just talk about you. For 1 hour, we can talk about your project, your deal. I can look at the P&L of the store you're buying and try to pick it apart and be like, hey, I think you're overpaying for this. We can really drill down on that. And so we really see this program as kind of like the best of all worlds, because if you try to do all this stuff, like if you don't have the video course, you don't have the group coaching calls, you don't get the benefit of other people's questions, you just do one-on-one coaching, it takes forever. Yeah. I mean, sure, I can teach you all this stuff. We wrote the course, but at the same time, it takes forever.
And so, it's more expensive, to be honest.
Because oh my gosh.
To pay for that many hours of Dave's coaching is much more expensive than doing this course in your own time. You know, you pay a lump amount up front, then you can do the course in your own time. And that gets a lot of those foundational knowledge kind of under your belt. Yeah. So you can go into those individual calls and the group calls too with a lot more knowledge, and you're kind of already to the next level. So we look at this program as not only putting you on the right path to owning your first laundromat, but fast tracking that path.
Yeah, definitely.
Really, I mean, we say you pretty much will get your first laundromat when you do this program within 3 to 6 months. You should expect to have your first laundromat. So it really fast tracks everything and gets you to do it the right way without those crazy expensive mistakes that I know you've had clients make in the past.
The one I always share, and it still tears me up to this day, is a gentleman called me for one-on-one coaching. This was probably over a year ago now, from Minneapolis. And he called me and he was like, hey, I just bought this laundromat 8 weeks ago and I don't know what's wrong, but something is wrong. He was new to the industry and no idea what he was doing. Long story short, I spent 1.5 hours on the phone with this gentleman and figured out very quickly that basically he had paid $650,000 for a laundromat that was worth about $200,000. And the day he closed on this place, he literally flushed $450,000 down the toilet. And here I am just meeting this guy, hour and a half into our conversation, and I have to tell this guy, like, I can help you try to dig out of this hole, but let's be very clear. You just wasted $450,000. And it was brutal. I mean, it absolutely took my breath away. It was a big part of the motivation and other stories like that of us creating something like this, because that shouldn't happen. If you talk to our friend Jordan Berry and kind of what happened in his scenario, he'll tell you part of why he does what he does at Laundromat Resources, because this crap shouldn't be happening.
Yeah,
it just shouldn't. And unfortunately, it happened happens all the time. It's not like, oh, every once in a while horror story. This stuff happens every day in our industry. And as far as me and Carl are concerned, and we know our friend Jordan agrees, this is unacceptable. Yeah. So that's why we put that program together. We are super excited to share it with you. We do have a link down in the show notes. Yes,
be sure. If you want to check out our program, click down the link in the show notes, and it'll give you a lot. It'll take you to a website that gives you a whole lot more information and also a way to contact us if you have additional questions. Okay, so now that we've gotten our big announcement out of the way, let's get back to the countdown of the six essentials that you must do before you buy that first laundromat. Mm-hmm. So now we are on to number four. Number four, laundromat financing.
That's brutal, right? Financing, that terrifies some people for sure.
Maybe not if you have like bukus of money, but yes, speaking from experience, we did not go into the laundromat industry with bukus of saved up money.
Yeah.
So yes, financing was essential. And unfortunately, a lot of banks are not very willing to finance a laundromat.
Yep. So back to that, we're going to keep taking back to the why with these essentials. Back to the why is laundromat financing and understanding the art of it important? It's really pretty simple because this is an art, not a science. This isn't buying a car. And unless you have business experience in other industries, which even other industries sometimes are pretty cut and dried with the financing, laundromat industry, I mean, laundromat financing is an art. It'll rock your world. And I don't know if y'all are familiar with our story, but just real quickly, I'll share. When we bought our first laundromat and we had great credit, virtually no debt, we had a significant down payment relative to the store we were buying. Like, we felt we were in a pretty good place to take out this really pretty small business loan. And we applied to over 20 financial institutions, got denied every time, a few times literally got laughed out of the place and was completely disrespected. These were by national banks, some local banks, some credit unions and things like that. We did eventually end up getting the deal done, even though I didn't do it the right way. I didn't, you know, we eventually got it done through our local credit union.
Would have been a lot easier had we had the course we're making.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. I've actually talked to Jordan Berry about this. He knows about the program and stuff. And I would joke with him. I'm like, man, can you imagine how much money a program like this would have saved you 7, 8, 9 years ago when he got in the industry? He quickly, very flippantly was like, not even debatable six figures. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know his story, go check out Laundromat Resource. Amazing platform, amazing human being. But anyway, so one of the things that we want to point out to you, assuming you don't know these things, is that most outside lenders aren't interested in financing a laundromat. In fact, most outside lenders, national banks, places like that, they don't even consider a laundromat a real business. When you talk to them about like, hey, I want to borrow $150,000 to buy a laundromat, that's like basically saying to them, I want to borrow $150,000 to buy a bubblegum machine. And they're like, are you crazy? Like, they have no idea. They don't even know how to value the business if they wanted to. If they wanted to write the loan, they don't have any idea how to value the business, what down payment they should require. They have no idea if your pro forma is accurate or completely made up. But the fact of the matter is, guys, like when it comes to financing, Carla mentioned earlier, if you just have a ton of money, the fact of the matter is still like leverage is powerful. Mm-hmm. So If you know and understand how to finance a laundromat, how to put together a business plan, what lenders to approach, that it's a very niche thing, and that these lenders do know how to help you walk through the process of getting this deal done. They know this industry like the back of their hand. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they don't laugh. They're chomping at the bit. They're excited for you to get this project because they know what's going to happen when you buy a rundown laundromat and make it nice, or buy an existing store and make it even better. Mm-hmm. They know what's going to happen. And so once again, a big part of why with number four, why is laundromat financing important? Why is this so complicated? This isn't buying a car. That's not what this process is like. This is not a consumer mentality of just, oh, fill out an application, get my W-2 and get a credit card or even a mortgage. I mean, like you remember our paperwork when we bought our first store? It was probably like this thick, and people laugh about like mortgages.
Well, that one was through the SBA too, so that's a lot more paperwork.
Very true. And as a new operator, I mean, that may be required in some cases.
Yeah.
The SBA is even a different animal. But the fact of the matter is, laundromat financing, the art of it, understanding it, knowing who to go to. Once again, you talked about a minute ago, the fast track. Knowing what to do is incredibly important. Knowing how to do it and where to go is an incredible amount of time savings. And if you never, quote unquote, stumble upon the right lenders in the right time in the right place and don't position your deal in a certain way, or if you're just overpaying for it, I mean, it's a dead stop. Mm-hmm. Like, this deal is not happening. So anyway, that's number four of our six essentials. We're coming down to the last two. All right. So number five on the essentials list, guys, is how to properly value a laundromat. And once again, we want to keep diving into the why of why is it important. Well, I just gave you kind of like, well, really a couple horror stories, Jordan. Jordan's story and then my friend out in Minneapolis. You know, I'm not sure we really
it's kind of obvious. You don't want to overpay.
Yeah, you don't want to overpay. And I'll even take it a step further. Like, I used a horror story. Honestly, I think Jordan's story is kind of a horror story. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they are common. But what I tell people, too, is like, if you were to hire a coach or a consultant or use a program like we just described or whatever mm-hmm. to get into the industry, like the investment and the scalability and the acceleration is amazing in and of itself. But the fact of the matter is, the flip side of it is, like, you could be buying a $200,000 laundromat and overpay by 5 or 10%. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's maybe not $450,000, yeah. but it's still like 10, 15, 20 grand in a lot of cases. And I tell my clients all the time, I'm like, yeah, you're really smart to join like my coaching program or whatever, whether it's launching pickup and delivery or what it is. Cause in this industry, I always tell them, I'm like, you can pretty much roll out of bed and trip over your own feet and waste $50,000.
Oh yeah.
And we've done it, right? Yeah. We've done it. So
well, this industry is so capital intensive. I mean, there's so much that you invest in. And if you overvalue the current equipment, mm-hmm. then, I mean, new equipment is expensive. So, you know, that can have a big impact on your bottom line. Mm-hmm. Or if you overvalue maybe what the store's revenue is, maybe you don't get a true stance of what their revenue is going to be. And so you overvalue it because of that.
Or overvalue it and you don't catch it.
And you believe them.
let's be honest. I mean, some people are dishonest. I like to give this example, if it makes sense, guys. Imagine you're buying a laundromat. I don't know if you've ever heard this term, but like, you know, people say, oh, laundromat is worth 2 to 7x of net operating income. Like, right, everybody pays mm-hmm. anywhere from 2 to 7. I'm like, nope.
That's a big difference too. It's 2 to 7x.
Huge difference. But the truth is also, like, some of them are worth 0. Mm-hmm. Some of them are worth 1. And yeah, maybe some are worth 7, but most are not worth 7. Most aren't even worth 5. That's just a fact. And so an example of that is, let's say I approach a laundromat owner. They have a laundromat for sale for $100,000, mm-hmm. and they have 20-year-old equipment. If you're only basing it on the net operating income and a multiple of that, and you don't take like the equipment age and into consideration, mm-hmm. well, does that laundromat that I said buying, but a net operating income of $100,000 a year, are you paying a 2 to 7 multiple of that? Are you paying a 2 to 7 multiple of the same $100,000 laundromat that has 3-year-old equipment?
That's a big difference.
I mean, they both have the same net operating income, right? Yeah. But if it has 20-year-old equipment, you better plan on paying $200,000-$400,000 to replace all that equipment, mm-hmm. which means it's probably close to 1 or 0 in a lot of cases. You might be paying for like the facility or the location, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. And that's a dangerous thing with, I call them flippant, but these little casual conversations that might happen on a Facebook group or something like mm-hmm. that, where somebody's like, how do I know the value of a laundromat? Oh, just get the net operating income and it's anywhere from 2 to 7. If you're in that range, you're good to go. Okay, well, like you said, 2 to 7 is a big range, but what if it's 0? Or what if you pass up a deal and maybe it should have been worth 8? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are locations that are in that range that, you know, would be a good deal in a lot of cases.
Well, then also coming into question is the net operating income because it's a cash-based business. So definitely like when you're buying a laundromat, especially if it's a laundromat that still is using completely cash, no card system, no software to help you show what their turns per day is, how much revenue they're actually bringing in, they can lie.
Really? People do that?
I know. Mm. So you can't always trust those numbers. So you really need to know what you should be looking for, other data points that you can look at to help you figure out, is that net operating income accurate? Are their expenses accurate? Is their revenue accurate? So there's a lot that goes into it, and it can be a huge thing about how much money you're going to make or lose going forward in this business.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Great point. Absolutely great point. All right. We're on to number six. The episode's almost over. Thanks for hanging in there with us, guys. The last one is the vision for your model and how you will scale, assuming you have a desire to scale. I mean, most people do. And once again, back to the why of that is there are, you know, I don't know if hundreds is fair, but there's probably at least 15 to 20 different business models and different versions and hybrids of business models in our industry. And I'd like to give you a really quick example is if you don't go into this business with understanding what type of laundromat or laundry center you want to run and operate, you could buy a business that's maybe worth what it's worth and buy it in the wrong location. Mm-hmm. Or you could buy a business that's worth exactly what it's worth in a great location that's exactly what you think it is, but you have this vision of transitioning it into a full service. Let's say, for example, you buy a self-serve laundromat, low-income area, demographics through the roof, 60, 70% renters and low income and all these things everybody tells you to look for. But your vision is to build like a business similar to what we've built, more of a laundry center. And you say, okay, this is great because it does, you know, 10,000, 15,000 a week in self-serve business. And then all I got to do is take it, you know, all I got to do is put attendants in there and then launch wash, dry, fold and do pickup and delivery. Well, if you don't understand the difference in those two business models, which are in a lot of ways almost a different industry, then you could be purchasing a store that is worth every bit of what you think it's worth, but it's never going to be what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Not because that business model doesn't exist, but because you bought the wrong location. Yeah. And there's examples of that all over the place, unattended, partially attended, high crime areas, densely populated areas, highly competitive markets in some areas. Mm-hmm. The point is that when you're drilling down on these six essentials, they are important. They're vitally important, but you honestly can't even address these six essentials just kind of in a vacuum. Like you really need to step away and have like a bigger conversation. And so we're hoping this kind of gives you like a baseline for how to look at your approach to the industry. And if you think a coach or a mentor or program like ours is fine, great. There's information down in the show notes about our program, or reach out to other people that you maybe think would be a better fit. But please, whatever you do, unless you have a lot of experience in this industry, don't go this alone because it's slow, it's painful, it's stressful and expensive. We're kind of a good story, to be honest with you. I mean, everybody holds us up as like, oh, you didn't have any problems. And
oh,
we did find a great distributor. So I think that's why a lot of people say that you had the charmed life and, you know, you bought this business losing money and within 6 months it was making money. Mm-hmm. All these things are true, but let me tell you something. It was freaking hard. Like it was very hard. We made a lot of mistakes. We have made $10,000 mistakes. We've made $50,000 mistakes. We have made $100,000 mistakes. And it's painful. It's no way to learn. And a big part of why me and Carla are so passionate about Laundromat Millionaire isn't because we want to keep talking about us being Laundromat Millionaires. It's because we want to talk about making you the next Laundromat Millionaire. So hopefully these six essential steps kind of helps you navigate that process. We're excited to offer this program to the industry. We know it's not for everybody. That's okay. Hopefully this episode brought you a lot of value. And if we can help you guys in any way, check out our free resources. We have, you know, the book, which is pretty inexpensive. We have the podcast, obviously, which doesn't really cost anything other than your time to listen to. We have free resources that we put on our website. So go to our resources tab on our website. There's some free business plan templates and things like that that you can download there. Even if you're not in this program, we want the best for you. But obviously we have limited time, so we do have to charge for our services. But anyway, we appreciate you guys joining us for another episode. And just so you know, we're recording this like the week before the clean show. Yes. So for those of you that are getting this about a week out from the clean show, we can't wait to see you guys there. If you catch this episode after the clean show, reach out to us. There's always some type of networking event, conference, something where we can connect and meet up, and we want to share that information as well. All right. Got anything else?
Nothing else. Be sure to check the links down in the show notes. Take care.
All right. See you guys next time. Have a good day.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.